It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. We are your daily podcast devoted to this industry that we all love so much called Daily Fantasy Sports. And since there's so much going on, we figured, you know, we got to do this every single day. We've got games to discuss. We've got interviews for you. And on top of that, we've got to tell you about all the great promotions going on because there's so many sites in this ever-expanding industry that it's hard to kind of keep tabs on everything that's going on. So that's what we try to do for you with this podcast and, of course, over at Roto-Grinders. If you don't know me, I am Dan Bach. Go by DB730 in the world of Daily Fantasy. That's pretty much my alias on all the Daily Fantasy sites. And certainly excited today because we got a new championship series going on at draft day. We'll discuss that here in just a minute. Right now I want to start talking about Friday night. Of course, that's a big night here in the world of Daily Fantasy because that's where FanDuel sends somebody out to Vegas for the FanDuel Baseball Championship Finals, playing for $100,000, biggest prize in the industry, and it was a barn burner of a tournament this past week as we nearly had chaos once again. And when I use the term chaos, you know, I kind of say it lightly, but nonetheless, the winner at the end of the day was a player by the name of Trent Steele. Final score 77.75. But here's the thing, he was a winner by 1 point over three people, including Beer Makers Fan, Napster Man, and Sox 22. All three of those guys are really big-time players in the industry, and they finished second behind this guy. And again, those three players had the exact same team. So we nearly had it happen again, where three people, before it was five people, had the same roster and ended up winning. Now, it didn't happen, but it was basically, an Albert Pujols run short of happening. And if that took place, tons of chaos again. And this kind of makes us discuss it. And, you know, after we saw the five-man tie earlier this year in the playoff with the DFBC, I'm fairly confident we're going to see some changes in the structure of baseball next season on FanDuel. I don't know if it's going to be an extra pitcher. I don't know if it's going to be an extra utility spot. I don't know if it's going to be a change in the salaries. But I think there's going to be some kind of change because I don't think it's really great to have people have the best score possible and then still not end up making it to Vegas because they have to play it off again because other people had the exact same roster. And I understand, 1,800 people, you're going to have people that have some of the same rosters, but you've got to kind of look at things differently when you set up tournaments with this magnitude of people because this isn't anything that, I don't know. If I was Beer Makers Fan and twice had the highest score and didn't win a trip to Vegas, I'd be pretty frustrated. Now, the rules are the rules, and you got to do what you do, and I certainly don't expect FanDuel to make any changes this year, nonetheless, it didn't technically end up happening because Trent Steele ended up beating them all, but nonetheless, it almost happened, so close, but we'll see what happens as we move on. So we'll talk to Trent hopefully later on this week. We'll talk to Shorty B12 tomorrow on the podcast. He was the winner of last Friday's championship qualifier, so we will talk to him tomorrow on the podcast. But nonetheless, it was, believe it or not, another game that was decided on the bat of Scott Hairston. Scott Hairston is moving the needle on FanDuel for their baseball championship series, or baseball championship, because twice, I think it was Stubert who also won when Scott Hairston had a huge game when he had that that Rocky stacked lineup. I know that because I think I finished top 10 that time and did not have Scott Hairston. And I wondered to myself, how the hell did anybody pick Scott Hairston? But nonetheless, he had a big hit late in that game that was really the difference maker for him. And congratulations, he's going to Vegas playing for $100,000. And nonetheless, take that shot, folks, every Friday in this tournament. The fields are getting pretty big. We were at almost 2,000 entries, 1969 this past week. But obviously, lots of talk about strategy. It looked like the Toronto Blue Jays team stack was the way to go. But if you look at Trent Steele's team altogether, it was not a full team's deck necessarily. He had Justin Upton. He had Scott Hairston. He had Justin Smoke. So he did not go the full team's deck like pretty much Beer Baker's Fan and Napster Man and Sox 22 did. But nonetheless, that's what happened Friday night on FanDuel. Over on Draft Street, Wahoo Warrior was the big winner of the qualifier yesterday for them. I got to tell you what, this guy's a tough player. I was in a tournament with him over on Draft Day the other day, and he put together some great rosters. So look out for Wahoo Warrior. He's going to be playing in that top 40 finalist tournament coming up in, still plenty of months before we have, a couple of months before we have that sucker. But the $55 qualifier tomorrow is the next one that they have on FanDuel, or excuse me, on Draft Street for their Draft Street Baseball Championships. $35,000 going to the first place winner, $200,000 in total prizes in that tournament. And lastly, starting up today over on Draft Day, certainly excited for this, the Online Championships of Fantasy Sports. This is exciting stuff because I like things that span, tournaments that span over a certain number of days. Now, these are actually tournaments that last one day, but you compile points. So the more you play, the better you finish, the more points you get. And if you are the top point getter at the end of the championship series, which basically lasts this entire week, then you get $1,000 cash and an opportunity to play against Kay Adams. She's of Sirius XM fame for another $1,000. So, you know, $2,000 coming your way pretty much if you end up winning this or having the most points in this championship series. So, again, this starts up today. This is multiple entries in a lot of these tournaments, so I recommend doing that. And very excited to see how this turns out. You know, I'm definitely going to make a run at it. I made my deposit over on Draft Day. If you haven't done so, make sure you go through our links here on Roto Grinders. But, again, my competitive nature, you know, anytime you can be the champion of anything, I think I'll take a shot at it. Now, if I go in and I flounder the first couple days, you know, maybe I'll scale back. Maybe I won't drop $200 in the in their finals, but or in their the big finale, the big championship finals of it. But if I'm in the running for that $1,000, absolutely, I'm going to pay that money. But even if you do not have that kind of bankroll, they do have satellite tournaments running daily that'll get you into that $200 buy-in for, you know, as little as a buck, I think. So be sure to check them out. Draft Day, great online championship of fantasy sports, kind of new thing that they're starting up, and certainly excited to give that a look. So that's the rundown of what we have going on in the industry this week and tonight. But let's talk about the games, because that's ultimately what matters. We need to put our teams together, and I'm loaded up with information for you, so let's talk some baseball.
Get about the curveball, Ricky. Give him a heater.
Okay, we start out in the American League today. Not as much interleague play today in baseball, which is good, but it's Boston and Baltimore. Who would have thought that Baltimore would be in first place in the American League East, but they're playing some great baseball. It's Tommy Hunter versus Clay Buchholz. That tells me we're going to see some runs on the board in this game. Boston, they're actually looking to avoid their eighth loss in nine meetings against Baltimore this year, and the Red Sox have actually won eight out of their last 10 games, so they're starting to heat up, coming close to that 500 mark. Mike Avilas, he is batting 400, three home runs during his six-game hit streak, and Tommy Hunter takes the mound for Baltimore, 2-1, ERA over 7 in his seven career starts against Boston. Big Poppy is batting about 333, two homers off of Tommy Hunter, and Mr. Middlebrooks, he and his hot wife had a homer off of Hunter earlier this season. As for Clay Buchholz, worst ERA in baseball, but he is getting over 8 runs of support per game, so that certainly helps his cause. He's 0-1 with a 7.84 ERA in his last two starts against the Orioles, after going 3-0 with a .32 ERA his previous four starts. So we'll see which Buchholz we get today. He hasn't been terrible his last few starts. Adam Jones batting 353, six homers during a 12-game hit streak, and he's 4-for-12, two doubles and a homer off of Buchholz. He has just been really good this year, an MVP candidate for Baltimore. And J.J. Hardy, 3-for-3, two homers off of Buchholz in his career. Look to Matt Wieters as well, batting 400 against him. He's kind of been slumping a little bit, but this could be a good spot for him to break out. Atlanta and Cincinnati. It's Mike Minor against Mike Leake. This isn't another game that looks like we're going to see some runs scored. The Braves and Cincinnati, they're open in this four-game series on Monday night, but each team's starting pitcher ranks among the National League's worst in ERA. Minor has actually allowed six or more runs in five of his eight outings this year, including four in a row. And he's making his first start ever against the Reds. Ryan Ludwig, 2-for-3 against him, also had a homer yesterday. As for Mike Leake, he allowed three runs in a season-low, one earned in six innings of a 6-3 win over the Mets on Wednesday. But take that out of the equation, and he's pretty much sucked all year long. He is 1-0 with a 1.50 ERA in two starts against the Braves. Both of those have been at Turner Field. Michael Bourne, 6-for-15 off a Leake. Martin Prado, 3-for-6. And Dan Uglow with a homer in four at-bats against Mike Leake. Kansas City and the New York Yankees. It's Paulino against Carota. And the Yankees have lost six of their last eight games. Well, Kansas City's actually won four straight on the road. Hiroki Kuroda has been really solid at home. 3-1, 3.08 ERA in the four home starts. But the right-hander, though, has an ERA of 6.23 while losing all four of his starts on the road. But luckily, this game in Yankee Stadium. Jeff Francoeur, 4-for-8 with a double off of Kuroda. Billy Butler, also 2-for-3 with two doubles off the right-hander. And Alex Gordon, 3-for-3 in this head-to-head matchup. Billy Butler also likes the new Yankee Stadium, betting 353 for his career in the Bronx. As for the Yankees, this is the first game of the year, the first debut of the year for Paulino came May 5th against the Yankees, retired. The first 11 batters he faced really shut them down with a big win. Derek Jeter, he finished 8-for-17 with a homer and a couple of doubles in the first series against Kansas City this year. He's a .336 hitter in the 63 home games against KC. Raul Ibanez remains red hot, .326, 6 homers, 15 RBIs in the last 12 games. Makes you wonder what he's up to lately with those kind of numbers. Washington and Philadelphia. It's Gio Gonzalez against Kyle Kendrick. Gio will make his first start in Philadelphia on Monday after throwing seven innings of one-run ball and a nice 7-1 win, home victory in May. And the major league leader with 11 strikeouts per nine, Gonzalez has actually struck out 26 while winning his last three starts. He's turned into one of the best pitchers in the National League. Hunter Pence, he is 10-for-24 with three home runs in his last six games. Also went 5-for-14 with three home runs in their series against Washington earlier this season. Kyle Kendrick pitched pretty well against the Cubs on Wednesday, 9-2 road win for them. He's 1-0 with an ERA under 2 in his last four starts against the Nationals. Always risky to go with him, though. Ryan Zimmerman went 7-for-15 over the weekend against Baltimore. Is also 10-for-22 off of Kendrick with a homer, 7 doubles. I think you got to put him in your lineup today. Ian Desmond, 6-for-16, 2 doubles and a triple off of Kendrick in his career. Let's go to New York and Pittsburgh. It's Santana against Bedard, and Johan Santana gave up two runs and struck out 5 6-2/3 innings on his start against Cincinnati on Wednesday. Of course, he left with a 3-2 lead. Game ended up going the other way, and a tough loss for the Mets in that one. But the Pirates, they made Max Scherzer look like a Cy Young candidate. This team is pretty much a lock for like 8 to 10 Ks, it seems. So I think Santana is in a good spot here to rack up some strikeouts, and he's actually gotten only 2.7 runs of support per game. So maybe you don't use him on a FanDuel or a Joust where you kind of get a lot of points for a win, but definitely a site like Draft Day or Draft Street where they are K heavy. I really like him today. He's 2-2, ERA under 2 against the Pirates, losing his last two times he's faced them, despite giving up 5 runs in 14 innings. Left-handed batters, 4-for-37, 12 Ks this season against Santana, so don't dare take a lefty with the Pirates. Eric Bedard received even less offensive help than Santana. He's only getting 2.6 runs per game, dominates lefties, but guys like David Wright may be able to handle him pretty well, and David Wright batting over 400 on the season. Toronto-Tampa Bay, it's Drabek and Helixson. The Rays lost three of their last four after falling to Atlanta 2-0 on Sunday. Tampa Bay has lost 5 of its last 7 at home after beginning the year 13-1 at the Trop. But Hellickson, he's allowed fewer earned runs in 6 of his 8 starts. He's 2-0 with an ERA of 3.93 in his 3 career starts against Toronto. If he avoids Jose Bautista, he could be okay. Bautista's 4-for-8 with a homer, triple, and double against him. As for Kyle Drabek, he ended a 4-start losing streak when he allowed 1 run and 3 hits in 7 innings against the Yankees. He gave up 3 runs and walked 4 and 5 and 2-thirds innings in a 3-1 loss May 5th to the Tampa Bay Rays. Colorado and Miami, it's Moyer versus Burley. Moyer recorded a 4.13 ERA in losing his last 4 starts versus the Marlins. Giancarlo Stanton, he is red hot, having a great month of May. 353, 5 homers, 11 ribbies in his 10 career games against the Rockies. And Hanley Ramirez, 340, 4 homers off of Jamie Moyer. And if you're looking for a sleeper today, maybe Austin Kearns. I'm sure he'll be in the lineup against the left-hander. He's 368 batting average against Jamie Moyer in his career. Mark Burley, 2-0, 2.91 ERA this month. Not a lot in the way of batter versus pitcher, but a couple ones to look at. Marco Scudero, 8-for-20, 3 doubles against Burley. And Carlos Gonzalez, 4-for-6 with a triple, also had a nice home run yesterday. Chicago and Houston, Matt Garza and Bud Norris. Bud Norris is going to try and win his career-best 4th consecutive start on Monday, and he is 2-2 with an ERA of 2.31 in 4 starts against Chicago. Now, the Cubs are batting 227 during its season-high 6-game losing streak, so I think Bud Norris looks like he's in a good spot here. Alfonso Soriano, he's actually heating up quite a bit. Got a hot bat and has a good track record against Norris, 3-for-7 with a double and a homer. As for Matt Garza, 0-2, 3.00 ERA in 4 career starts against Houston. The right-hander has given up 2 runs or fewer, though, in 6 of his 7 starts overall. The only guy who hits him really well on this lineup is Carlos Lee, 308, 2 homers against Garza. And Lee usually does pretty well against the Cubs in his career. San Francisco and Milwaukee, Bumgarner and Wolf. How about the game Matt Lucroy just had? 7 RBI, a couple of homers yesterday. Now, he's just hitting the ball really well for the last month or so. Hit safely in 16 of 17 games while batting 413 with 19 RBIs over that span. Ryan Braun batting 411, hitting safely in 14 of his last 15 games. And both of those guys have really good numbers against the Giants. Now, 4 career starts versus the Brewers for Bumgarner. He's 3-1. 1.27 ERA, not bad, but he's not really pitching his best right now. Gave up 5 and 4 runs in his last 2 starts. Braun, 4-for-13, 2 doubles and a homer off of Bumgarner. Ricky Weeks, he's been terrible this year, but he is batting 357, so if you want to take a shot on a cheap guy, maybe you do it with Weeks. Randy Wolf, 4-3 with an ERA of about 2 in 11 outings since 2008 against San Francisco. He gave up 4 runs, 9 hits, and 6 innings in a loss to the Giants in early May. Now, Angel Pagan, this guy's 7-for-18 lifetime against Wolf. That's good for 389 batting average, but he is really hitting the ball well, batting 439 during an 11-game hit streak and has at least 1 hit in 31 of 32 games this year. Huh, who knew that? And he was also 5-for-2 versus the Brewers earlier this month and is batting 433, 5 doubles during a 14-game hit streak against the Brewers. So all things indicate Angel Pagan could be a good bet to do something in this game. San Diego and St. Louis, Clayton Richard, Jaime Garcia. Now, St. Louis has dropped 4 straight and 8 out of 10, and they've actually yielded at least 6 runs in 9 of the last 10 games. Now, the one guy who's kind of put it together is Jaime Garcia. He's definitely been their best starter the last couple of weeks. He dominated San Diego in the past. They're only hitting 120 against him in their career. Jaime Garcia yielded 7 hits over 15 scoreless innings in his last 2 starts against San Diego. 1-0, 1.35 ERA in his 3 career starts against the Padres. I definitely like him tonight. Clayton Richard, 2-0 with a 3.45 ERA in 3 career starts against St. Louis. But if you look at his numbers this year, have not been very good. ERA right around 5. But Cardinals hitters only batting 121 against them this year. And, of course, the news coming out looks like Lance Berkman going to be done for the season. Matt Adams is the guy you want to possibly consider big-time source of power going to be entering that Cardinals lineup. David Freese, he struck out all 4 at-bats on Sunday, batting 088 with a homer and 3 RBIs in the last 10 games. So avoid him until he starts getting hot once again. Next game to discuss is LA and Arizona. Chris Capuano against Patrick Corbin. And the Dodgers will seek a fifth straight win when they visit Chase Field for the first time this year. In Arizona, they've been terrible at home. Dropped 12 of its last 15 games, allowing opponents to bat 300 and scoring about 6 runs in those games. The Dodgers batting 336 and outscoring opponents 26-11 during their 4-game win streak. And Patrick Corbin, he gave up 6 runs, 9 hits over 6 innings in his last start, which was a 6-1 loss at Colorado. His one start in Chase Field went pretty well for him. As for Chris Capuano, he yielded one run or fewer in 4 consecutive outings, but then got touched up by the Padres a little bit for his first loss of the year. I'd avoid him here. Very bad track record against the Diamondbacks. 0-4, 5.40 ERA over his last 5 games against the Diamondbacks. Willie Bloomquist, yeah, he's not a big name, but pretty good over his last 5 games, 11-24. Paul Goldschmidt, also 2 doubles in his 3 at-bats against Capuano. Justin Upton, 2-4 with a double and a homer against Capuano as well. L.A., the Anaheim Angels, whatever you want to call them, against Oakland, Jerome Williams against Tom Malone. Albert Pujols, one thing he does seem to like is Oakland pitching so far. He's hitting .440 with 4 doubles in those matchups against them this year. Also had a pair of doubles in his 3 at-bats against Tom Malone. And as for Malone, got off to a good start, then kind of cooled down a little bit. 2-2 with a 6.46 ERA over his last 4 starts. The one thing he's got going for him in this game is he's 3-0 with an ERA of .39 at home this season. And of course, this game is in Oakland, so I'm not sure if I'd really put too much stock in that one, but just something to consider. One guy who's red hot, Mike Trout. 12 hits in his last 6 games. The kid has been money on both the base paths and basically doing it all right now for Anaheim. Jerome Williams could be a good play for today. 3-1, 3.30 ERA in 5 career starts against Oakland. The right-hander, though, hasn't been at his sharpest lately, giving up 10 or more hits in each of his last 2 outings, so that does kind of scare me. But Oakland, not a great hitting team, so not too worried about that one. This might be the game of the night, though. Texas against Seattle. Yu Darvish against Felix Hernandez. Darvish been insanely good this year. 6-1 record, ERA of 2.60 through his first 8 appearances this season, but his worst start of the season came against Seattle, and it was, of course, the opening game, and I think that was more to do with nerves than anything, because he has dominated the American League so far this year. Seattle, they've won 4 straight games, and actually have looked like the 27 Yankees in their series at Coors Field. Everybody making good contact in that series. Ichiro, he was 3-4 in the opener against Darvish. Dustin Ackley, he's been red hot. Hits in 9 of his last 10 games, really seeing the ball well, but tough to go against Yu Darvish in this one. As for Felix Hernandez, he's allowed 12 runs, 21 hits while losing his last 2 starts, and he is 10 wins, 16 losses with an ERA of about 4 in 32 games against Texas. Felix posted an ERA of 5 during his 4 straight losses to Texas and gave up 7 runs in 3 1/3 innings the last time he faced the Rangers. Now, the Rangers have won 19 out of their last 24 matchups with Seattle and 6 out of their last 7 at Safeco. David Murphy, 5-9. Elvis Andrews, 5-12. Ian Kinsler, a couple of home runs. Those were the stats last year off of Felix Hernandez. So maybe not a great spot for King Felix. So that's the rundown of our games here for this Monday night. Best of luck in your matchups. Time for me to say a quick thank you to my friends over there at Daily Joust. Been a great sponsor of this podcast. So if you enjoy what I do here, please give them a chance to earn your business in Daily Fantasy. And of course, what can I say? King Richards, I talk about them all the time because I win in them all the time. And they're really fun contests. I won back-to-back, which means I also won back-to-back seats into the Super Joust. Super Joust isn't until September, but nonetheless, get your 5 entries while you can. And to be fully honest with you, I'm not just saying it because I want it. I really believe that that is the best value, your best bang for your buck to get a Super Joust seat because you only have to beat 32 other people. It's a $20 entry. Half the people move forward every single day until we get down to the final 2. And like I say, you're winning cash the entire way through. So it's a great contest. Probably my favorite one in all of Daily Fantasy Sports. So give it a look. Also, we have an All-Star Joust contest coming June 22nd. To qualify for that, you just got to win one of the $1 or $2 guaranteed prize pool tournaments that they put on each and every day for baseball, even for the NBA, the little bit of NBA action that's left. If you win one of those $2 tournaments, you can get in that All-Star Joust, $2,000 in cash and prizes, including a pair of All-Star tickets. So make sure you check them out. Great sponsor of the podcast. Really enjoy playing on their site. They are dailyjoust.com. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. We will return again tomorrow morning on the podcast. We'll talk to Shorty B12. He is going to Vegas to play for $100,000 first place prize in the FanDuel Daily Fantasy Baseball Championships. Also, make sure to go over to Draft Day and try out their online championships of fantasy sports starting today. And till tomorrow, everybody, please do me a favor. Follow us on Twitter at RotoGrinders. You can go to my Facebook or our Facebook page, or go to iTunes and then you subscribe to this podcast. It'll be there for you each and every day. Till tomorrow, everybody, have yourself a great night, and we'll talk to you then. See you, folks. My name.